Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
People getting saved in the services. We're seeing people getting healed. There was the business pillar at one of the Perth locations had a broken finger. Literally, it was fractured. He got prayer and pain totally went away. Took the thing off and he could move it totally perfectly. It was amazing. I'm telling you, God is doing some incredible things. And then at City, we had a whole bunch of baptisms a couple of weeks ago and just saw just like even people who didn't come to church to get baptized put their hand up and say, hey, I really feel I want to get baptized today. And they actually got baptized. And we saw some incredible like breakouts of miracles, like signs and wonders. You know, we talk about signs and wonders. As they were getting baptized, and this is as true as anything, we saw little gold dust like flickering around on the stage. And Ali, my wife, Dr. Ali, she went to the back of the stage and she ran her hands on right near the baptism pool like that. And she came up and there was all this gold dust all on her hands. I'm telling you, a sign and a wonder that points to Jesus. I absolutely love it. I'm telling you, God is up to something. He's doing some incredible things in the church. And it's really exciting. It's an exciting day to be a part of Pneuma Church. It really is. And I really feel, you know, even the season that we've been through, I just really feel a sense that God has got something special in store for us as a church community, not only for this location, but all the locations across Pneuma. So I'm really, really excited about that. So, hey, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And where's Steph? There you are, Steph. During worship, I just really felt that the Lord laid this on my heart for you. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. I'm here to say that the Father's heart is toward you today. God is toward you. He's looking at you. And as you keep your eyes firmly fixed on Him, those things that are going on around you, those distractions, He's going to sort out. He's going to sort out. And you're going to see the goodness of God in your life. And those dreams and the desires that you've had, as you delight yourself in Him, He's going to give you those desires of your heart. I really feel that the Lord has told me to say that to you today. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. And so keep your eyes on Him. Don't let anything else distract you. There's lots of stuff going on. I can see this swirling going on around you. There's lots of little things happening around you, but keep your eyes on Him. And as you do that, you watch, He's going to sort out all that stuff because He's working on your behalf. So I really feel to say that to you this morning. Amen. Amen. Hey, Matthew chapter 11. This is an awesome scripture, and we're going to read from verse 1. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." By me. So this morning I want to talk to you about living a life of awareness. Living a life of awareness. A few weeks ago, we introduced this new culture value at Pneuma Church, and it was His presence is our priority. His presence is our priority. And I love it because it wasn't really, I mean, we say we introduced it, but really, everywhere I go, I'm like, we're living that. I can feel the church already living the fact that His presence is our priority. You know, what, like, and we saw it here this morning, even while we're worshiping, the presence of God is here, and we open up the altars, and people are coming forward and getting prayed for and getting healed. And, you know, I'm watching some of the prayer people praying for them, and they're getting touched as well. You know, they're getting in, they're having an encounter with the presence of God as well. So I love this culture. His presence is our priority, because, you know, I grew up in a quite a large family, and we learnt the Bible. And, you know, we had to read the Bible in morning and night, and we learnt all about the principles of religion, and we learnt all about what we need to believe. And all of my childhood was like that. So I knew the Bible. I'd known all these scriptures of the Bible, but it didn't mean anything to me. It was just like, this is just religion. It didn't change my heart, didn't do anything. So at age 16, I'm like, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm going to go off and do my own thing. And long story short, and one day I might share with you my whole testimony. It's pretty crazy. But I got involved in drugs, and then I had an encounter with the presence of God. I had an encounter with Jesus Himself, and He radically saved me, and I got born again. I got filled with the Spirit of God, and the presence of God was all over me and upon me, and He totally transformed my life. And then all of these scriptures that I'd been reading about as a child, they all started to come to life. And it was like, wow, God started showing me what these scriptures meant because of the presence of God. Because no one wants religion. We want relationship with Jesus. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be real. That's what we want, isn't it? We want the presence of God. And I want to talk about this scripture today, because here we see John the Baptist. I mean, John the Baptist, the Bible says that he was the forerunner to Jesus. He was the one who prepared the way for Jesus. And he came, and he wore camel skin, and he ate grasshoppers and honey. He was a bit of a wild, crazy man. And then he preached this. His message was the message of repentance. You have to be baptized. You have to repent and be baptized. And so he was the one preparing the way for when Jesus turned up and Jesus came on the planet. And so he was the one who first recognized Jesus. When Jesus was walking along by the side of the Jordan River, John the Baptist was baptizing people. And then John the Baptist pointed out Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So he recognized Jesus. He was like, "I recognize Jesus." And then he said these words, "He must increase and I must decrease." And then when Jesus came to him and said, "Hey, I need to be baptized. Will you baptize me?" And he was the one that baptized Jesus. And as he was baptizing Jesus, the heavens opened and that voice thundered out, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And John heard it. And then he saw the dove, the Holy Spirit, just settle onto Jesus. I mean, John experienced this. He saw this. I mean, Jesus said of John that he was the greatest prophet that lived in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. He was the greatest prophet. So he was an amazing man of God. But here, I mean, get this. Here we see John. He asked his disciples, so John had disciples. He asked his disciples, "Hey, go and talk to Jesus and ask him, are you the one? Are you the Christ that, you know, are you the Messiah, or is there someone else?" I mean, what happened to John? I mean, he had an encounter with Jesus. He was one of the first people who recognized Jesus. He said, "Hey, this is the Lamb of God." What happened to John? I mean, the Bible says he was in prison. What happened? He had taken his eyes off Jesus. He had shifted his awareness to where he was at, to the natural. How many of us in our lives, you know, we go along in life and we believe Jesus and we trust Jesus, and circumstances happen. Something happens in our relationship or in a situation in our lives, and we take our eyes off Jesus and we go, "Jesus, are you even real? do I even believe in Jesus anymore? I mean, this has happened. My friend's got cancer and, you know, this has happened in my marriage and my child's sick and, you know, my business is failing. Jesus, are you even there? Do I even believe in you anymore? Is he even real? We stop coming to church. It's like we pull back. It's like we've shifted our awareness. It's so important to keep our awareness onto Jesus and remember what he has done. So important. And this is what I want to talk to you about because, you know, the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For all seek their own and not the things of others." We all can be so self-centered and self-absorbed, and it's all about me, myself, and I. But, you know, being aware or living with an awareness of God is being fully conscious of him, understanding of God, recognizing him, being attentive, being sensitive, even in the place of hardships in our lives. Even when we're going through difficult times, it's like, hang on, I want to be more aware of him and more aware of what he's doing in my heart and in my life rather than the situation I'm in. I don't know about you, but I want to live with such an acute awareness of Jesus. No matter what happens in my life, I want to live with an acute awareness of his presence in me. You know, when Moses was called by God to lead the children of Israel out of slavery and into the promised land, he said to God, "Hey, I'm not doing anything without your presence. I don't want to do anything without your presence." It's like, don't send me, God, but I need your presence. I mean, do we have that attitude? God, I don't want to do anything without you. I need your presence, your nearness, your closeness. I want to live with an awareness of your presence. You know, Jesus said that in John 15 when he was talking to his disciples and he said, "Hey, without me, you can do nothing. But I am the vine and you're the branches." You got to remain connected with Jesus. You got to cultivate your relationship with Jesus. You got to do your devotions. You got to cultivate that awareness of him because, you know, he's in us and he's upon us. When you give your life to Jesus, he makes his home in us. I mean, we're singing about that. Come and inhabit our praises. Come and inhabit us. He makes his home in us. The question is, are we aware of it? Do we live with that reality that he is in us and he is upon us? Man, we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords living inside of us. Wow. We've got the presence of God in us and upon us. Do we walk like that? Do we live with that sense of awareness in our lives? Amen. So how do we become more aware of God? I'm glad you asked. You know, when Jesus first started his ministry, he had one message. His message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What does that mean? Shift your awareness. Change your thinking. The kingdom of heaven is available. It's available to you and me. This is the message that we preach. Hey, come on, guys. Repent. Shift your awareness. If you don't realize it, man, when I gave my life to Jesus, my mind was renewed. It was changed. It was like, wow, I believe. Wow, my awareness all changed. I realized that I was born again and I was filled with the Spirit of God. You know, when Jesus sent out his disciples, he gave them this same mandate. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, he said, "Preach the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then he said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons." What does that mean? It means change the way you think. Repent. Change your perspective. Shift your awareness. This is so important for us as believers as we grow in our faith, is to change the way we think. Change our thinking. Change our thoughts. Come on. Stop believing those lies of the enemy. And how do you do that? You get into the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? What is the presence of God saying to me right now? What's the Holy Spirit saying to me? That's how we do it. We renew our minds. We shift our awareness. This is this massive shift that needs to take place. So John the Baptist, I mean, this is what happened to him. He's in prison. And unfortunately, not only was he in prison, but that prison was getting inside of him as well. He was getting imprisoned by what he was seeing, what he was experiencing. Yes, he was in prison. He was doubting that Jesus was the Christ. Wow. He was more aware of where he was in the natural and the negative that he was in instead of the signs and wonders and miracles. His awareness was not on heaven's reality, but on natural reality. You know, we live in a natural world. We see in the natural, but God is inviting us to lift our vision up higher, to be aware that heaven is all around us. We live with an open heaven over us. He's wanting us to change our thinking, change our sense of awareness that God is with us. Amen. You know, most people are more aware of their problems rather than on God's solutions. Most of us, we're more aware of our problems rather than God has got solutions for our problems. You know, whenever you focus on what God hasn't done, you undermine your own confidence and faith in the Lord. So keep your awareness on what He has done. What has God done in your life? Remind each other. That's why testimonies are so important. Let's hear more testimonies. Hey, what has God done in your life? What has God done in your life? Hey, when you get together, talk about it. What's God done? How did you get saved? What's your testimony? What are the good things that God... Keep talking about it. Don't, hey, let's have a negative fest. Let's talk about what God's not doing. Let's talk about all the issues in our lives. Let's talk about, I mean, it's not minimizing it, but it's, come on, it's shifting our awareness. Hang on, God is the solution here. He's got good stuff in store for us. Let me go one step further. Most people are more aware of other people's problems rather than realizing that God has shown them so they can be a part of the solution. That's why we have this culture, honor affirms value. Come on, let's pull the gold out of each other. Let's draw the gold. Let's not focus on the negative in people. We're made in the image and the likeness of God, each one of us. So come on, draw the gold out. We need each other. I need you, you need me. I need you to be you fully alive in Christ. You need me to be fully alive in Christ. We need each other. We need to draw that gold out from each other. And that comes through awareness. You know, we can be more aware of our weaknesses rather than His strengths. Because God is strong, but hey, in Him we are strong. Don't be enamored by the enemy and his work. Be more aware of His presence. And I know we've all been with other people, not here, that are always more aware of the devil. Oh, the devil's here, the devil's doing that, the devil's doing that, and oh, there's the devil there, there's the devil under that chair. And hang on, let's be more aware of where God is. You know, when Jesus walked the planet, He destroyed the works of the enemy. Yes, he was aware of it, but he was more aware of his Father's voice. What's God saying in this situation? Let's bring healing. Let's bring freedom. Let's see this person that is bound. Let us see them get free. Amen. Jesus was more aware of his Father's voice than the voice of the enemy. And yes, there is a voice of the enemy whispering lies and whispering guilt and shame and lies and to us. But we need to be more aware of what's God saying. What's God saying? Hey, you're a child of God. You're made in the image of God. You have the Spirit of God in you and upon you. God, greater is He that is in you than He is in the world. Amen. Amen. Jesus said in John 5:19, He says, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. You know, Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. And I remember years ago, I was a part of some ministry training. It was at a Vineyard church and John Wimber was speaking and he goes, this is how he was training the ministry team. And he goes, this is how you pray for people. Just do what the Father's doing. Just say what the Father's doing. You know, just say what the Father's saying. And so just be aware. Hey, what does the Father want to say to this person? I mean, that's the attitude and that's the invitation that God has for us. Hey, what does the Father want? He's a perfect dad. He's good. He wants to draw out the best in people's lives. Amen? Amen. Jesus was more aware of the Holy Spirit and opportunities for heaven to break in. That's why testimonies are so important. I said that. You know, what you're most aware of, you will host. Yeah, wow. Meaning, what you are most conscious of, you release. So are you most conscious of your issues and your problems and where God isn't, or you're most conscious of what God has done. You're most conscious of His presence, of His goodness in your life, of how good He is, of your salvation, of healing. Are you more conscious of the Holy Spirit rather than the enemy? So, so important. So faith grows with an awareness of God in your life. That's how faith grows. You want to build your faith, become more aware of God in your life. You know, self-awareness as a Christian is being aware of where God is at work in you. Where is God at work in you? What's God speaking to you about right now in your life? You know, we should be aware of that. It's not self-help, but it's a growing awareness of the Spirit of God in my life. Yep, I know what God's doing in me. I know He's putting His finger on some stuff. I know He's changing me. We should be all aware of where God is at work in our own hearts. That's called self-awareness as a Christian. You know, how do we live with a greater awareness of His presence in your life? You live in response, not in reaction. So many of us, things happen in our lives and we get triggered and we react. We react because someone said something or we've heard something and we react to it instead of, hang on, God, help me to respond with Your presence. Help me to slow down my response in this particular situation. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So what do we need to do? Lord, where are You at work in me? Where are the reactions? Where are those trigger things? How come I seem to always be getting angry in this situation? Well, God's inviting you into some healing there. You need to find out, okay, God, help me to live in response, not reaction. David prayed this prayer in Psalm 139, he said, Lord, investigate my life, see if there's any wicked way in me and put me to the test. Wow. That's a powerful prayer. It's like, Lord, test me. Oh, it's like, I don't know if I want to be tested by God. But God does test you. He puts you into situations. He puts people in your life. Testing people that push your buttons, that annoy you, that poke you, that argue with you, that have a bit of an ego. And He tests you. He's like, how are you going to react, Steve? Are you going to respond in love, in forgiveness? Or are you going to react and push back and argue and get all full of your own self-importance with that situation? Or are you going to say, hey, I don't have to prove anything. I can just be secure in who I am as a child of God. You know, that's the question of reaction or response. You know, this beautiful scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, where Jesus said, why are you trying to take the splinter out of someone else's eye when you've got a log in your own eye? How many of us are like that? So, to me, that scripture is about a self-awareness thing. Whenever I judge someone or I point out a fault in someone else's life, or I notice an issue in a person's life, be careful, because it's probably in my own life. There's probably a log in that area in my own life. And that's like God saying, hey, Steve, sort out the log in your own eye. Sort out your own issue, that plank that you've got. You know, that's the question of self-awareness, which is really important, to live with a sense of awareness of, okay, God, what are You doing in my heart? What are You doing in my life? You know, every irritation is an invitation. You're irritated by something or by someone, there's an invitation for you. There's an invitation for you to grow, to be more patient, to be more humble, to be more kind. There's an invitation that God wants to do something in your life. That's where transformation happens. God tests us. Don't you love this? God tests us. So maybe this is a bit of a hard sermon for us today, but hey, God is into growing us. He's interested in your growth. He's interested in developing you. He's interested in you becoming the full, free, whole you. that He's created you to be. He wants you to drop off all of that other stuff and become all that He's created you to be. And how do we do that? By living with a sense of awareness of God. So that's the difference between a reaction or a response. God, help us to respond well. Amen? Amen. You know, Jesus, when He was baptized with the Holy Spirit, like I said, the Holy Spirit came down upon Him and rested on Him and remained. And it says in John 1:32, John bore witness of it, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and the dove remained on Him. How would you walk if there was a dove on your shoulder? You'd walk carefully. You'd walk with a sense of awareness. There's a dove on my shoulder. You know, it's the same in the Spirit. You have the Spirit of God on you. How do you walk? You walk carefully. You walk carefully. Be aware of the Holy Spirit in you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's with you. He loves you. He wants the best from you. So, you know, Jesus never grieved the Holy Spirit, and He never reacted. He responded. He responded to God in situations. So you cannot afford to have a thought in your mind that God doesn't think about you. God thinks you're amazing. God thinks you're absolutely wonderful. He made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we're all incredibly different. We're all unique and different. And God loves you. He loves every part of you. And He's inviting you to become fully free, inviting you to become fully His and live with this sense of awareness, because we're all on this journey. Amen? Amen? We're all on this journey. So Jesus, He only lived according to the Father's voice, the Spirit's direction, heaven's awareness. Didn't live according to the enemy or according to frustrations. Didn't live according to His emotions. He wasn't enamored by the enemy. He was living with full awareness of the Father, full awareness of the Holy Spirit. And it is possible for us to live in full awareness of the Holy Spirit. That's what He's inviting us into. Come on. It's the posture of your heart and where you live from. You know, because the Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places. That's our positional reality. We're with Jesus in the heavenly realm. So everything of heaven is available to us. And that is the place where we live. We need to live with that constant reminder. We need to remind ourselves, hang on, Steve, you're sitting in heavenly places. Hang on, and you have the Holy Spirit upon you. Hang on, you live with an awareness of the presence of God in this situation. So you can speak to that situation. You can believe God for that situation. Amen? Amen. What you dwell on and meditate on will affect your atmosphere, your demeanor, your behavior. John, he was in prison. He was thinking about prison. Prison was starting to get on him, and he started wondering, maybe Jesus is not the Messiah. You know, he had become so the prison had become upon him. But Jesus, I love what Jesus says to His disciples. He says, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. Go and tell John what's happening. Rehearse the testimonies. Come on, remember what God has done. Come on, lift up your eyes again. Become more aware of God than your problems. Train yourself to do that. You've got to walk it out in real time. What is the presence of God saying? Number two, how do we live with an awareness of His presence? We prioritize His presence over principles. Now, this is a really important one because, you know, as we start learning the principles of Scripture, and the Bible's got so much to say about our lives and how we should live, and sometimes we can say, oh, the Bible says that, instead of, hang on, what is the Holy Spirit saying in regards to the Bible? Because here's the thing, in this very chapter, John, in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 12, it says here, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So in other words, you know, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we got to be people of faith. We got to be full of faith, and we got to step out in faith, and we got to be passionate about our God, and we got to be full of faith, and we got to fight the good fight of faith. How many people know that's really important? That's in verse 12 and 13. But then in this chapter, right at the end of the chapter, in verse 20, 28 and 29, Jesus said, hey, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he's saying, hey, come and be still and know that I am God. Hey, I want you to rest and watch me fight for you. So hang on, Jesus, which one are you telling me to do? Do you want me to fight the fight of faith? Or do you want me to just rest and just be still and know that I am God? Which one do I do? I mean, I'm looking at this, I'm like, which one do I do? That's the point. It's relationship with Jesus. It's asking Jesus, okay, in this situation that I'm dealing with my family, what do you want me to do, God? Do you want me to fight and pray and intercede and have conversations and fight? Or do you just need me to wait on you? Ask God. He might be saying, hey, Steve, just wait on me. Just be still and know and watch me fight your battles. Watch me do what I do best. And it's like, awesome. But then at times he might say, Steve, you need to step out in faith. Come on, I want you to step out in faith. You need to fight the good fight of faith. You need to have those conversations. You need to have those courageous conversations. You need to sort this out. Come on, I'm giving you the power. The presence of God is in you and upon you. Come on, you got the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. We got to go for it. So that's the question. It's relationship. It's relationship. So that's living in presence over principles. Principles are important, but it's being presence filled, living with an awareness of the presence. God, what are you saying to me in this situation? What do you want me to do in this particular situation? And I love this. This happened to me a couple of years ago when we were pastoring the church, and God spoke to me about handing our church on. And I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Do I need to push through? Do I need to explore these other things? What do you want me to do? And God said, no, just wait. Just watch what I'll do. You just lay this down. And as soon as you lay that down, I'll show you what to do. And so I just waited, lay down, and then God started speaking to us really clearly about coming to Newmar so clearly. And it was like, okay, let's have some conversations. And then lo and behold, God got, you know, we ended up in Melbourne. So long story short, but I'm telling you, because I just laid it down, I'm like, okay, God, what do I need to push through and take a step of faith and do it, or do I just need to rest and just believe you? God, I'm just going to rest and believe you. I'm just going to come to you and just be still and watch, and God just put things in place. You know, he does that. God is so good. Sometimes he's telling you, hey, you've got to just rest. You've got to do nothing. Be still and know. Just worship me. Just become a person who is a worshiper and just keep your eyes on me and watch me work in this situation. And then other times he'll say, hey, you got to push out. You got to go for it. You got to take that step of faith. You got to fight the good fight of faith. Remember, Jesus said, all scripture in John, he said, all scripture points to him, points to a relationship with him. You know, don't study scripture without a relationship with Jesus. Ask Jesus, ask the Holy Spirit, God, what are you saying to me in this scripture? What are you doing? How are you revealing yourself in this scripture? You know, you might say, well, I live by the Word of God, the principles in the Bible, but that's great. But the Word of God, the scriptures all point to a person.
Yeah, that's right.
They point to a person, a living, vibrant relationship with a person, Jesus. Amen.
So good.
So good. It's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He guides us. He's the one that leads us into all truth. So it's presence over principles. It's being led by presence rather than formulas. Sometimes you think, okay, in order to see this issue in my life sorted out, I've got to follow this formula. If I follow that formula, then it'll be right. Sometimes that works, but how many know it's much better following Jesus? God, Jesus, what do you want me to do in this particular situation? You know, number three, a life of intimacy is a life of awareness.
Yeah, wow.
A life of intimacy with Jesus You know, in Matthew chapter 25, this beautiful scripture, it talks about this parable of the 10 bridesmaids. So I don't know if you remember it. There was 10 bridesmaids. There were five who Jesus called foolish and five who were wise. And all the bridesmaids had lamps. They all had lamps. And the five wise bridesmaids had extra oil for their lamps. And then when the bridegroom came, they all had to light their lamps. And the foolish bridesmaid said, "Hey, give us some of your oil because our oil's running out." And the five wise ones said, "Hey, we can't give you that oil. We're not going to give you that oil because it's our oil." And I'm like, I remember reading that and I thought, that's really mean. If I had spare oil, I'd give it to someone. Hey, if I had oil and their lamp was going out, I'd give them some oil. There you go. Have some of mine. And I remember studying this scripture. I'm saying, Jesus, what does this mean? The Lord spoke to me and he said, hey, your oil is your history with God. Wow. Is your relationship with God. It's your cult. It's the relationship that's you've cultivated over the years with God, and you can't transfer that. You can't give that to someone else. That's yours. They've got to go and buy their own. They've got to go and create their own. They've got to go and cultivate their own relationship with God. And it's so important, you know, a life of awareness with God is cultivating your own relationship with God. Come on, your devotions, your secret times with the Lord, you know, your Bible and prayer readings and your devotions with God. You've got to cultivate your own history with God because you can't transfer that. You know, this incredible pastor, these incredible pastors, this incredible couple, they can't transfer their own relationship with God to you. They've cultivated an incredible relationship with God. You've got to cultivate. This is what we preach. Hey, come on, guys. Cultivate that sense of awareness with the Lord for yourself. I can't transfer it over to you. You've got to cultivate it yourself. Your history with God is not transferable.
Yeah, wow.
And that's the beauty of you know, a life lived with God. I've been a Christian since I was 19 years old. And as I look back on my life and how God has spoken to me and the good times and the bad times and the ups and the downs and the miracles and the breakthroughs and the valleys, and that's all my own history with God. And it's, you know, it's nothing is wasted. God uses every single part of your life to form you and to make you. Everything he uses, he's got this amazing ability, even the bad stuff in your life, he's got this amazing ability to turn it around and to make it worth more than gold. It's so good, so good. Your history with God, you must cultivate it yourself daily. You know, the Bible says that you are the Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells in you. If you're a believer here, if you've been baptized here, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the ark now. The same Spirit is in you that raised Christ from the dead. I mean, think about that. Let's be more aware. I don't know about you, but I want to grow in this sense of awareness of the Spirit of God in me and upon me. I want to grow with this sense of awareness of the presence of God in every single aspect of my life, not just on Sundays. How many here? I love Sundays. I love the presence of God. I love when the people of God gather together and we're singing songs and there's prayer happening. And man, you can feel the presence of God. It is awesome. But the invitation for us is to walk out of this place and be carriers of the presence in our daily lives, at school, at home, at work, you know, in the shops, that we're carriers of the presence of God. We don't just have and experience the presence of God in a meeting. I mean, while that's important, but we also are carriers of the presence of God in our daily lives. The question is awareness. How aware are you? That's all it is. It's, Lord, teach me to be aware. Teach me to live with an awareness of you. I don't have to drum it up. I don't have to, like, okay, I've got to try and do. Jesus said just remain in me, just abide in me. abiding doesn't take work or effort. It's just being in Christ, being aware of Him. He is everywhere. This is living with an awareness of His presence everywhere and anywhere. Listen to this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 38. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation because it's really beautiful. It says this, "So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that His love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken His love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One." You know, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. All you need to do is shift your awareness. Shift your awareness. You know, there's such a connection to what you're aware of and what you release. I just really feel that there's an invitation from the Lord here for all of us to live with an awareness of His presence. Let's go away from this service this morning with an awareness of His presence. He's in you and He's upon you. Let's live with that sense of awareness, and it starts with changing the way we think. It starts with repentance, changing the way we think. I don't want this confession to be my confession. That was when Jacob was sleeping, and in Genesis it talks about how when Jacob was sleeping and he has this dream about angels descending and ascending from heaven, and then he woke up and he goes, "Surely God is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." I don't want to be like that. I want to live with such an awareness of God. Surely God is in this place and I am aware of it. Surely God is in this place and I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it. Living with a sense of awareness. Come on, let's be like that prodigal son who came to his senses. Wow, God, I want to live with that sense of awareness with You in every situation, every problem that I'm facing, that I can shift my awareness onto You. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I really feel this morning that God wants to change people's glasses today. During worship, as I was worshiping, I just really sensed that the Lord wanted to give people a new set of glasses today. That's a new perspective. That's a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing today. And yeah, we'll get the worship team up there. We're going to sing that song, Inhabit, again. Yeah. And I want to do an altar call for people who really feel that your glasses need changing. Your perception needs changing. It's like, I need to get some glasses that are in focus. Yeah, I need to get some glasses that shift my awareness today, so that when I walk out of here, I can feel, I can sense Him, I can see Him, I'm more aware of Him in my circumstance, in my life, in my family, in my situation. But God's invitation for you this morning is to take off your glasses, take off your old way of thinking, and put on that new way of thinking, that new glasses. Would you stand with me today? As we close, and I want just every eye closed right now in this place, because now we get to be aware of the presence of God. Right now, the Holy Spirit is just moving in this place. He's been speaking to people's hearts and people's lives. Maybe it's a shift of priorities. You've got to make the priority of His presence in your life. Maybe it's a shift of response rather than reaction. You find yourself, you've been reacting so much to situations, and God's inviting you to respond. Maybe it's that set of glasses, and it's like, God, I want to put on the new glasses that you have for me, that new perspective to my situation. Maybe you've been like John and you've been focusing on the wrong things. You've been focusing on your issues and your problems and the jail and the prisons that it's, and it's trying to affect you, it's trying to come upon you, and you've taken your eyes off Jesus, and you're like, Jesus, do you even care anymore? Do you even care what I'm going through? I've heard you're a good father, but I haven't experienced that in my life. Maybe your focus has come off what Jesus has done, and your focus has been more about what the enemy's doing. God wants to shift your focus here this morning. I just want to open the altar here right now. And if that's you this morning, I want you to respond and say, Lord, I want to grow in a sense of awareness of your presence. I want to take those new glasses that you have for me. I want to repent. I want to shift my thinking, because I've been thinking some bad things, some negative things, some criticism. I want to change my thinking. I just really feel that there's an open altar here right now. God wants to shift your awareness. He wants to lift you up out of that miry pit and put your feet back on the rock again. So, Father, right now, I just pray for each and every person here, even as we close, Lord, as we close this section of the service. God, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to people's hearts right now. If there's areas that we need to repent of right now, we repent. I pray that for renewed minds in this place, Lord. I pray that each and every person will walk out with such an awareness of your presence, the reality of your presence, Lord, your goodness, your grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's sing this song.
I just want to be a place for you to dwell, a habitation here that hosts you well.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen.
If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.